Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. Osho Radio brings you 1 hour of meditation and music, a discourse by Osho and music from the world of Osho. On our Facebook page you can find more details about the music that we're playing. For now, just sit back and relax and enjoy 1 hour of meditation.
Joy of life come through. This heart has a song to play. This heart has a song to play.
The discourse today is from the series The Heart Sutra number 9. Osho is talking about different levels of awareness. For this he uses the concept of a French philosopher, Teilhard de Chardin.
Teilhard Sarna divides the human evolution into four stages. The first he calls geosphere, the second biosphere, the third noosphere, and the fourth Christosphere. These four stages are immensely significant. They have to be understood. The geosphere, it is the state of consciousness absolutely asleep, the state of matter. Matter is consciousness asleep. Matter is not against consciousness. Matter is a state of consciousness asleep, not yet awakened. A rock is a sleeping Buddha. One day or other, the rock is going to become a Buddha. It may take millions of years. That doesn't matter. The difference will be only of time. And time does not matter much in this eternity. That's why in the East we have been making statues out of stone. That's very symbolic. The rock and the Buddha are bridged through a stone statue. The rock is the lowest and Buddha is the highest. The stone statue says that even in stone is a hidden Buddha. The stone statue says that Buddha is nothing but the rock come to manifestation. The rock has expressed its whole potential. This is the first stage, geosphere. It is matter. It is unconsciousness. It is sleep. It is pre-life. In this stage, there is no freedom. Because freedom enters through consciousness. In this state, there is only cause and effect. La is absolute. Not even an accident is possible. Freedom is not known. Freedom enters only as a shadow of consciousness. The more conscious you become, the more free. Hence, Buddha is called a mukta, utterly free. The rock is utterly in bondage, fettered from everywhere. From all sides, in all dimensions, the rock is soul in imprisonment. Buddha is the soul on wings. There are no more any chains, any bondage, any imprisonment. No walls surround Buddha. He has no borders to his being. His being is as vast as existence itself. He is one with the whole. But in the world of geosphere, cause and effect is the only Dhamma, the only La, the only Tao. Science is still confined to the geosphere. Because it still goes on thinking in terms of cause and effect. The modern science is a very rudimentary science, very primitive, because it cannot conceive anything more than matter. Its conception is very limited, and hence it is creating more misery than it solves. Its vision is so finite Its vision is so tiny, small, that it cannot reconcile itself with the totality of existence. It is looking from a tiny hole and thinks that's all. Science is still confined to the geosphere. Science is still in bondage. It has not got yet wings. It will get wings only when it starts moving beyond cause and effect. Yes, little sparks are there. The nuclear physicist is entering into the world which is beyond cause and effect, crossing the boundary. Now, the physicist is starting having glimpses of the innermost core of matter in a very, very roundabout way. They are stumbling of one of the greatest factors of life, freedom. But in geosphere, it doesn't exist. Geosphere is more like death than like life. That's why matter appears to be dead. It is not. It is waiting for its life to grow. It is like a seed. It appears dead. It is waiting for its right moment to explode into life. But right now, it is dead. There is no mind. Remember, in the last stage also there will be no mind again. A Buddha also is in a state of no mind. And the rock is also in the state of no mind. Hence the significance of a stone statue, the meeting of two polarities. The rock is in a state of no mind means the rock is still below mind. Buddha is in a state of no mind, that means Buddha has gone beyond mind. There is a similarity. Just like there is a similarity between a child and a saint. The child is below mind, the saint is beyond mind. The rock will have to go through all the turmoil of life. The Buddha had passed. He has gone and gone and gone and gone beyond, utterly beyond. But there is a similarity. He again exists in a state of no mind. He has become so fully conscious that the mind is not needed. The rock is so unconscious that the mind cannot exist. In the rock, the unconsciousness is absolute, hence the mind is not possible. In the Buddha, the consciousness is absolute and the mind is not needed. Let me explain it to you. It is one of the most important things to learn, to understand. Mind is needed only because you are not really conscious. If you are really conscious, then there is insight, there is no thinking. Then you act out of insight. You don't act out of your mind. Mind is not needed then. When you see a thing as true, that very seeing becomes your action. The second sphere is biosphere. It means life, pre-consciousness. The first sphere was matter. The second sphere is life, trees, animals, birds. The rock cannot move. The rock has no life anywhere, not visible anywhere. The tree has more life. The animal is still more. The bird is still more. The tree is rooted in the ground, cannot move much. A little bit it moves, sways, but cannot move much. It has not that much freedom. A little freedom certainly is there. But the animal has more freedom. He can move. He can choose a little bit where to go, what to do. The bird has even a little more freedom. It can fly. This is the sphere called biosphere, the life sphere. It is pre-consciousness. Just rudimentary consciousness is coming into being. The rock was absolutely unconscious. You cannot say the tree is so absolutely unconscious. Yes, unconscious, but something of the consciousness is filtering in. A ray of consciousness is coming in. And the animal is a little more conscious. Consciousness is coming like a dream. Yes, dogs dream. You can see. You can watch a dog asleep and you will see he is dreaming. In dreams sometimes he will try to catch flies. And sometimes you will see he is sad and sometimes you will see he looks happy. Watch a cat and sometimes she is jumping in her dream on a mouse, imaginary. But you can see that what she is doing in a dream. Eating the mouse, cleaning the mustache. You can watch the cat. Dream has entered. Things are happening into the world of consciousness. Consciousness is surfacing. Cause effect are still predominant, but not so as in a rock. A little freedom becomes possible, and hence accidents start happening. The animal has a little bit of freedom. He can choose few things. He can be temperamental. He can be in a good mood and be friendly towards you. He can be in a bad mood and will not be friendly towards you. A little bit of decision has come into his being. But very little bit, just the beginning. The self is not yet integrated. Very loose self. Hodgepodge. But it is coming up. The structure is taking shape. The form is arising. The animal is past-oriented. It lives out of the past. The animal has no idea of the future. It cannot plan for the future. It cannot think ahead. Even if sometimes it thinks ahead, that is very, very fragmentary. For example, when the animal is feeling hungry, it can think ahead, few hours ahead, that he will get the food. He has to wait. But the animal cannot think about 1 month, 2 months, 3 months in the future. For years, the animal cannot conceive. It has no calendar, no time concept. It is past-oriented. Whatsoever has been happening in the past, it expects that to happen in the future too. Its future is more or less the same as the past. It is a repetition. It is past-dominated. Time is entering through the past. Self is entering through the past. The third sphere is new sphere, mind, self-consciousness arises. First was unconsciousness, second was pre-consciousness, third is self-consciousness. Consciousness comes, but with a calamity with it, the self. It cannot come otherwise. The self is a necessary evil. Consciousness comes with the idea of I. Reflection starts, thinking starts, personality comes into existence, and with mind comes future orientation. Man lives in the future, animals live in the past. Developed societies live in the future, undeveloped societies live in the past. Primitive people still live in the past. Only civilized people live in the future. To live in the future is a higher state than to live in the past. Young people live in the future, old people start living in the past. Young people are more alive than the old people. New countries, new cultures live in the future. For example, America lives in the future. India lives in the past. 5,000, 10,000 years of past. India goes on carrying it. It is such a burden. It is so difficult to carry it. It is crushing. But one goes on carrying it. It is the heritage. And one is very much proud of the past. To be proud of the past is simply an uncivilized state. One has to reach into the future. One has to grope into the future. The past is no more. The future is going to be. One has to prepare for it. With the new sphere, with mind, self-consciousness, reflection, thought, personality, future orientation comes into being. And the more you start preparing for the future, the more anxious, of course, you become. So Americans are the most tense people, restless. Indians are very restful. So restful that they don't have any efficiency at all. Do you know, when Indians change an electric bulb, 3 Indians are needed. 1 to hold the bulb, and 2 to turn the ladder. Very restful people. Relaxed. They don't suffer from any anxiety. They don't know what anxiety really is. Anxiety enters with the future. Because you have to plan. You cannot just go on repeating the old ways of your life. And when you do something new, there is a possibility of mistake. More possibility of a mistake. The more you try the new, the more anxious you become. That's why psychologically America is the most disturbed country. India, the most undisturbed. Animals don't have anxiety. To live in the past is a lower state of mind. Of course, more comfortable, more convenient. And the Hindu Mahatmas go on saying to the world, look how peaceful we are. No neurosis exists. Even if we starve very, very silently. Even if we die very, very accepting. And you are going mad. But remember, progress comes through anxiety. With progress there is anxiety, there is trembling of going wrong, of doing something wrong, of missing the point. With the past there is no problem. You go on repeating it. It is a settled past. The ways of it are perfectly known. You have traveled on them, your parents have traveled on them, and so on and so forth backwards to Adam and Eve. Everybody has done it. There is no possibility of going wrong with something new. Anxiousness, anxiety, fear, fear of failure enters. This third sphere, new sphere, is the sphere of anxiety, tension. If you have to choose between the second and the third, choose the third, don't choose the second. Although there is no need to choose between the third and the second, you can choose between the third and the fourth. Then choose the fourth. Always choose the higher. Fourth state has to be created. It is not in your system. It is your potential, but you have never been in it before. It is arduous. It is going upstream, uphill. The fourth state is Christosphere. You can call it Buddha sphere. It means the same. You can call it Krishna sphere. It means the same. With the third state, there is a kind of freedom, pseudo-freedom, the freedom known as choice. This has to be understood. It is of great importance. At the third stage, you simply have a pseudo kind of freedom, and that freedom is the freedom of choice. For example, you say, my country is religiously free. That means you can choose. You can go to a church or to a temple and the country and its law will not create any trouble for you. You can become a Mohammedan or a Hindu or a Christian. You can choose. The country is free means you can choose your life, where you want to live, what you want to do, what you want to say. The choice of expression, the freedom of expression is there. This is what is thought to be freedom. That you can say whatsoever you like, that you can do whatsoever you like, that you can choose any religious, political style. You can be a communist, you can be a fascist, You can be a liberal, you can be a democrat, and all that nonsense, you can choose. It is only a pseudo-freedom. Why I call it pseudo-freedom? Because a mind which is full of thoughts cannot be free. If you have lived for 50 years, and your mind has been conditioned by your parents and the teachers and the society, and then you think you can choose, you will choose out of your conditioning. How it is going to be a choice? First, you have been conditioned. And one thing more, it is not only a question of conditioning that you are not free. When you choose between two things, maybe nobody has conditioned you about those two things. There are million of things for which you have not been conditioned at all. When you choose between two things, your choice is out of confusion. And out of confusion there can be no freedom. People write to me, we are torn apart between two women or between two men. What should we do? This confusion arises because you are motivated. There is a motivation. Money, music, security. There is no love. That's why you are torn apart. If love is there, intense love is there, passionate love is there, then there will be no choice. That passion will decide itself. You will not be choosing. You will not be torn apart. But people are not that intelligent and not that intense. They live life very lukewarm, so-so. They don't live it intensely. Their life has no fire. Real freedom happens only when your life has become so total in each moment that there is no need to decide. That totality decides. Do you follow me? The totality itself decides. You are not facing two alternatives, whether to marry this woman or that. Your heart totally is with one. There is no motive, so you are not divided, and there is no confusion. If you decide out of confusion, you will create conflict. Confusion will take you into deeper confusions. Never decide out of confusion. On the third stage, new sphere, there is pseudo-freedom. Out of confusion you decide. Hence, confusion goes on growing. Confusion brings conflict. Because there is always two sides in you, to do this or to do that, to be or not to be. And whatsoever you decide, the other side will remain there and wait for its time to take revenge. Freedom happens only at the fourth. Christosphere is the fourth. With Christosphere comes no mind in existence. No mind of a Buddha, of a Christ, not of a rock. With the fourth comes consciousness without a center, with no self in it. Just pure consciousness, with no border to it. Infinite consciousness. Then you can't say, I am conscious. There is no I to it. It is just consciousness. It has no name and no form. It is nothingness. It is emptiness. With this consciousness, thinking is not needed. Insight starts functioning. Intuition starts functioning. Intellect lives on tuition. Others have to teach you, that's what tuition is. Intuition, nobody has to teach you. It comes from in. It grows out of you. It is a flowering of your being. This is the quality of consciousness called meditation. Intuition, inside, consciousness without a center, timelessness, or you can call it the now, the present. But remember, it is not the present between past and future. It is the present in which past and future both have dissolved. Sharda calls it the omega point. Buddha calls it nirvana. Jainas call it moksha. Christ call it God the Father. These are different names. This whole sutra is concerned from the third to the fourth, from new sphere to Christosphere, from intellect to intelligence, from self-consciousness to no self-consciousness. The third is like waking, ordinary waking, and the fourth is what Patanjali calls Turiya, the fourth. He has not given it any name, and that seems to be very beautiful. Call it Christosphere, and it looks like Christian. Call it Krishnasphere, and it looks like Hindu. Call it Buddhasphere, and it looks like Buddhist. Patanjali is very, very pure. He simply calls it the fourth. That contains everything. He has not given it a particular name. For three, he gives names because they have forms. And wherever form is, name is relevant. The formless cannot have any name.
This was Osho Radio for today. You were listening to music by Rishi, Vedant Anando, Devakant, Shastro and Maniko. I wish you all a happy week and until the next time, take care and namaste.
us home. Let her move us as we go. It is love that brings us home. Let her wilderness move us as we go. So strong it is haunting, stirring in my bones, asking me to give everything. This witnessing is alive and so clear sometimes, daunting. Love that brings us home.